from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Great day, great day! Oh, give me some juice, baby!
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader.
You know what I'm bringing today. You know what I'm bringing today. Let's go.
Go to work.
Let's go.
Hey, Sam.
Sports Radio 610.
I'm not going to let the news of the day dim my light.
Yep.
I'm not going to let the news of the day ruin my energy. It is game day eve. I don't care, Lopez, that none of the starters are going to play in the Hall of Fame game. I don't care, Lopez, that the Astros have lost back-to-back games at home to the Pittsburgh Pirates. I am not going to allow the news of the day to bring me down, Lopez. I feel good. I feel energized. It's game day eve. We will see football very, very, very soon, and I can't wait, dog.
Yeah, I'm not either. It is a great day. And you know, maybe I'm going to start off with a little bit of a confession here, Figgy. Just a little bit of a confession. I'm more excited. These are my confessions. I'm more excited about this preseason game than any preseason game deserves to be excited about.
Don't downplay the significance of this moment.
And not only is it a meaningless preseason game, it's the freaking Hall of Fame game.
Hey, deserve ain't got nothing to do with it.
It's the freaking Hall of Fame. Are y'all in that boat? I'm like, at least it's start. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm figuring it out as I'm talking here.
So
it's starting.
Yeah.
It's real.
I used to be like that all the time, man. Even living up in Cleveland, just knowing a game is on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a couple times where it was like a Thursday. I'm flipping around. I'm like, oh, yeah, Hall of Fame game is on.
Yeah,
and even though I don't know a lick of whoever's on the field,
yeah,
it's just football being
back. Yeah, I think,
man,
that's
like real football.
But it's not just that, because that's every year. Like, the whole country's going to be watching this for no reason other than
it's a game, man.
Yeah,
it's a football game.
I mean, you're not going to see anybody of note. You might see a couple, but the whole country will be watching. But locally, for me personally, it's because this Texan season that we have anticipated, that we are looking forward to, that we have such high expectations and hopes for, very few of these guys we're going to see tomorrow are going to be like having a big impact on how it turns out, but it's them and it's starting.
Yeah. I think there is something to be said for being first.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. I just think there is something to be said for being first. And this thing kicks off with the Texans, with their storylines, like the key figures, the guys that we want to see play are obviously not going to play. But you're going to have a moment and a time to talk about all of these things. Like, these storylines will still be front and center. Like, think about what the broadcast is going to be talking about toward the end of the game.
Yeah.
When not just the backups are in, but the backups to the backups are in. Guys that are not going to be on the team. Maybe not on any team.
Yeah.
So, like, by the time you get to that point,
Like, you will have talked so much about these and both of the teams, by the way, the Texans and the Bears, the parallels are just interesting as hell. Like, you got one team that was on the rise, that arrived last year, and another team that's basically trying to replicate that with its own version of it.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. You're not going to get to see those guys, but you're going to get to hear those storylines discussed. And again, there is something to be said for being first. I felt similar to this way, what was it now, 4 years ago when they opened the season against Kansas City in the COVID year?
Yeah.
Remember, they're coming off of losing to Kansas City in the playoff game in embarrassing fashion. But there was something about opening the season. I know it was a regular season game, but being the first and the only at that time, to me, is significant. And it says a lot about, obviously, where the Texans are, but where both of these teams are projected to be this year, how the league views both teams.
Yeah, and again, you know, just the fact that you're going to see those uniforms, add to it Andre Johnson, you know, and just kind of the aura of that and a first ever for the Texans. It's just like, I'm like really weirdly excited for the Hall of Fame game.
So I'm glad you mentioned Dre.
Yeah.
Because if we're just keeping it a buck, especially given the fact that these guys aren't going to play, the key figures are not going to play, that's probably the biggest local story. I would say not probably. Let me take that off. That is the biggest local story of the day. Or of the, I'm sorry, of the week.
Yeah.
Right? Like of the weekend, of the week that is the Hall of Fame game. Hell with the game itself, because the game is just going to kind of be a throwaway. We'll have fun with it because we're trying to figure out what this roster is going to look like. I want to get into this as well, like what the coaches. You're not going to rest the coaches.
No, you
don't
rest
the coaches. Coaching is going to be the real coaching, right? I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
But the big story is Dre, man. And I'm really excited about that. Really happy for him. Happy for the team to be able to experience that. How about Dre Day last night?
Yeah, I was looking at
Andre
that.
Andre Johnson Day at Minute Maid Park. What'd you think about that yesterday? Kind of this coronation of Andre Johnson at Minute Maid Park. Even had him in the booth for a little bit.
Little cross-pollination there. With the Astros and Texans.
We both know we could have seen a day where that would have been...
No.
It could have been like, nah, we're busy.
we're good.
We're booked.
We're 8 games in front.
I'm going to be honest, man. It warmed my soul a little bit.
It did. It did. And seeing him in the booth, as you talked about, throw out the first pitch. A lot of celebrities there. Cal and Hannah were there. Which I guess they're celebrities too, but what am I doing?
They might as well get their own TV show, man.
Reality show.
Cal in the booth with the hat back. Now that was, I think,
with the Astros colors on the H-Town logo.
Obviously promotional, but also
that was
look.
Super smart too.
Yeah,
how far we've come. Like, think about how many years ago it would have been where you would have laughed at the idea of Cal in the booth, but certainly Cal in the booth with a backwards hat.
Yeah.
and in 2024, it was pretty damn cool.
And in a weird way, even though they're, you know, now they're in second place, but they're back in the hunt and all that. What a turn of events. The Astros kind of need the Texans, you know, to raise the...
Oh, come on.
No. Look, like, how many more eyes were on that?
Hey, look.
How many more eyes were on that?
So, big picture, I don't think that's necessarily the case.
But last night.
Last night.
Yeah.
And, like, right now, let's call it this week.
Yeah.
You know, with all of the news.
It's been rough for the Astros this week, man.
It has not been a particularly redeeming week for them.
Oh, we will get to that.
Between the trade deadline and losing and all of that, blowing leads.
Yeah.
I mean, how about that? I don't know if we gave enough attention to this yesterday because we were at training camp and we got a lot of football to talk about. But how about, like, in a one-day span, Dana Brown makes that trade, right? The one that we've all widely panned for different reasons. We got different objections for it, but none of us like it.
Yeah.
And then on that same day, his biggest signing gives up a 3-run shot to cough up the lead in the ninth. On a bullpen day, by the way.
Yeah.
What's a bullpen day supposed to be?
Yeah.
Like, if you can get through the first part of the bullpen and you got a strong second or back end
you're
of the
good.
Bullpen, you're supposed to be good.
You're good.
They did that. They handed the game off to what was supposed to be the strength of the team on the same day in which they made a trade that was widely panned.
Yeah.
No, getting Andre Johnson and the McNairs in the booth the
it
next
helped.
Day was a good look. I got to agree with you.
It helped, but it was also just like Andre, I guess he's flying out this morning. He'll be there today. And it's pretty damn cool. That's the biggest part of the Hall of Fame game, as you mentioned, but also like the people who are going to be there for Andre, Like, they're going to be talking to D'Amico during the game probably about Andre. They're going to be talking to C.J. Stroud on the sideline about Andre. You're going to see what I feel is, I mean, I've looked at the Traveling Texans website, looked all over social media. Dude, there could be 10,000 Texan fans there. More.
Yeah, including Sports Radio 610.
Including Sports Radio 610.
We will be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
We will be holding it down.
Figgy Fig in the building.
Like, yes.
Like, Texans fans are going on moss, as they say. Like, it is going to be a huge, huge, you know, sort of visual.
We talk about how timing is everything. Like, so much of life just has to do with time and being at the right place at the right time, or vice versa, unfortunately. Like, being in the wrong place at the wrong time. It happens. In this case, in this sports context, with Andre Johnson, how about the timing of all of this?
Yeah.
Because this did not marry up on purpose. This was not, you know, the Hall of Fame committee or the voters voting Andre Johnson into the Hall of Fame in a year that the Texans now are finally relevant again.
Yeah.
Or when they've got a lot of, like, new pieces and like, new things to introduce to the NFL or to the NFL audience. Like, the timing of this is the best part of it. It's like Andre Johnson, you could argue a bunch of different ways here that he should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could hold some of the things that really didn't have anything to do with him.
Hell, like, when he retired.
Against him.
Yeah.
And then say, hey, maybe he could have waited. Like, you can straddle whatever side of the fence that you want to with Andre Johnson, but that it would happen this year in this moment at this time with this kind of buzz around the team, to me, the timing could not be any better. That I think that is a part of it that has me most excited. You were talking, Lopez, earlier about being more excited for a preseason game than you ever should be. Well, I think this is just flat out different.
Yeah,
this is different than any other preseason experience that I can remember following the Texans in the last 20 plus years.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of the excitement. That's part of the reason that that it's going to be so interesting to watch. And, oh, by the way, interesting to watch on the field. We know the starters are not going to play. And you brought up this point, and it's right on. Like, the Bears have already announced ain't no starters playing.
That's the news. To me, that's the news of the day in terms of on the field. Like,
yeah.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The news of the day is that ain't no Bears starters playing.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't make a lot of sense to, in turn, for the Texans to play. Now, the Texans have been a little bit more coy about it. D'Amico Ryan's kind of in jest, like, we'll see when asked about C.J. Stroud. So they haven't really tipped their hand. But I feel like it is.
Except they have. Except they have. Oh. Davis Mills goes to the tent yesterday.
Yeah, okay. So that's fair. That's fair.
And by the way, you know this. If our listeners do not, every preseason game, the coaches talk to each other before the game.
Yeah.
They talk to each other before the game. Hey, what are you thinking about running? I'd like to see this. Hey, can you run this a couple of times for us? We're working on this offense or defense versus that look or whatever. So they always talk to each other. So D'Amico Ryans has talked to Matt Eberflus. Matt Eberflus said, we ain't playing any of our starters. There's no way that DeMeco said we are.
Yeah. let CJ Stroud get some run against your second string defensive line that's trying to make the league and would gladly rip his leg off the socket.
I was a little disappointed that Caleb Williams wasn't going to play, but then I remembered our season opener here is against Caleb Williams.
Yeah, we will have time to revisit that.
I know.
So it's all good.
So I'm good.
Put a pin in it. Now, again, I told y'all yesterday, if I ruled the world, we would just change the rules. They'd play, but you wouldn't be able to hit them.
No,
I do.
That's called practice.
Hey, that's called regular season.
That's called practice. Yeah,
fine. You already can't hit them.
Fine. Hey, with a joint practice, whatever.
Put a dress on them.
Fine. If they'll wear them. Whatever the case may be. So I know we're not expecting much, or really, I should say anything. We're not expecting anything from the starters, the true players on these teams. But I do have something that I want to see from this game. I do have an outcome that I want. It doesn't have nothing to do with the final score or even the box score itself necessarily. But I do want to see an offense. And look, it's the backups. I get it. But the story of training camp so far has been how much the defense has had an edge over the offense. Like, to a man, that's been a pretty consistent takeaway from training camp. The defense ahead of the offense at times sloppy. We've seen some highlights, like outside of the highlights. Oh, check out this throw to Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Check out this to Tank Dell, to Nico Collins. Hey, John Mechie's out there making some plays. We saw Noah Brown with a one-handed catch. That was amazing.
Yep.
We've seen highlights, but the overall story consistently has been the defense playing better than the offense. One of the things that I do want to see from this preseason game, no matter who's out there, is an offense that at least runs better, like the way it's run, flows better, and just is more cohesive and crisp than they have been, than they have shown themselves to be during training camp. That's one of the things that I really want to see from this game, Lopez.
It's also kind of weird that I'm feeling this, because normally you see a defense pretty much control training camp, not dominate. I would say, I think I said this yesterday, 60-40. If you have, like, when they go 11-on-11 or they go full bore, whether it's 7-on-7 or 11-on-11, I'd say about 60% of the time the defense has had the edge. And normally I'd be like, ooh. But I think it's just because the defense is really playing that well. I think they're ready. I mean, obviously there's still a couple of weeks of camp left at least. But I think they're really going to surprise with how good. It's not about the offense. It's about how good the defense is playing.
Yeah, so to be clear here, I'm not mad at the defense for being good. Like, go out there, ball out, compete. Make it challenging for this offense that we've talked so much about during the offseason. Mm-hmm. But to my point earlier about the coaches not resting, like, you want to me, you could even argue that this is a DeMeco Ryans, Bobby Slowick moment. Mm-hmm. DeMeco Ryans, Bobby Slowick game. It'll be more so about them getting some practice in or game reps in for how they're managing the game, how they're managing personnel. And really, like, from a nerd standpoint, it's like, okay, I get that they're not going to show everything in a preseason game, but it's not like they're going to show stuff. Like, very little of what they show is going to be stuff that they throw away and you never see again.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of it is going to be stuff that you see again. You want to see how it looks. I want to imagine, hey, what does this play look like when the proper players are out there? How do they run it? Is it communicated well? Those sorts of things. Can't wait to hear what Clint has to say about the film after the fact. Like, all of that I'm looking forward to. But I do like your point, Lopez, about the defense, because I feel really good about this defense. And I wonder if, with them being the story of training camp, if possibly we've just underplayed or downplayed how good they can actually be, or maybe just taken for granted how good this DeMeco Ryans led defense can be with the added pieces that they've got.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's funny because I'm doing this on the fly because I thought this was the case, and I'm going to ask you and Figgy. Y'all have been out there a lot. We've been out there every day. As much as the defense has dominated, I started thinking about dominated, 60-40, like I said. But
As much as the defense has been good,
in my mind, I'm trying to think of, like, the best plays I've seen at training camp. I started writing a list. I said top five, and I'm at four. most of three of the four were on offense.
Your top, wait a minute.
Top plays that I've seen in training camp.
Hold on a second. Yeah,
top plays I've seen in training camp.
Wait, stop. Lopez has top plays that he's seen from training camp and has not shared them with us?
Yes. Yes.
Like, what is this?
You want me to share them with you?
Yes. Let's do this. John Lopez, the OG's top plays that he's seen from training camp. Yeah. I want to hear these, man.
Let's go. We need a bet or something. Let's get some football music.
Hold on this, Lopez.
Let's get some.
Bury the damn lead, dog. Let me hear these, man. The people want to know these. Come on, give them to me. Your top plays from training camp.
Oh, this is where we're going. Top plays. This is where we are.
How many plays you got? Five?
Five.
Number five.
I think it was the second day of training camp. C.J. Stroud drops it in the bucket on a cut to Tank Dell. It was like an out cut. Dropped it right in the over his shoulder. Touchdown. It was going into the, I guess, north end zone. Absolutely, like, that's where you go, okay.
I wish you could do these in, like, play-by-play voice, too.
I'm not Mark Vandermeer. So that's number five.
Numero cuatro.
First play of pads, 11 on 11, full go, number one offense versus number one defense. C.J. Stroud drops back, red zone play, drops it over, I believe it was Lasseter, into Stephon Diggs, diving catch in the corner of the end zone, and that's when I said, all right, that's a statement.
There you go.
That's the Stephon Diggs first play, 11 on 11.
Yeah.
Touchdown.
And the crowd went freaking wild.
Nuts.
Numero tres.
Yesterday, they're running drills. It wasn't even 11 on 11. Running drills with defense.
No crowd.
No nothing. John Metchie put Kalen Bullock. I mean, it was spin cycle. It was like whoop, whoop, whoop. The old Chris Berman.
Whoop, hey, if y'all have not seen that video, please go check out Jonathan Alexander's Twitter, man. That is worth seeing if you have not caught it already.
Yes.
Numero dos.
All right, Noah Brown has had a good camp. Does a little up and out down the sideline. Looks like he's got a step on Kamari Lassiter. Kamari Lassiter makes up the ground, spins to the inside, has a hand on Noah Brown, puts his right hand up, knocks it away. It was a perfectly thrown ball. It would have been a touchdown. Kamari Lassiter is ball skills.
Hey, that's a dude.
Yeah.
It's a dude. Watch out for him.
Numero uno.
We all know what number one was. I think it was the second or third day of camp. Noah Brown's one-handed reverse catch.
A beauty.
He did an inside spin, reverse catch, one-handed for a touchdown in red zone play. How about that? We got top five plays of training camp.
Listen, yeah. I'm going to tell you straight up.
You got any others?
Hey, no. Hey, look.
Those were the five that jumped in my mind.
Look, I think that was nicely done. Since we're doing top fives,
mm-hmm.
I felt like that was worth blowing through the break a little bit. I'm glad to do it. And so coming up next on In the Loop, five players who might surprise and begin to win a job on this roster at the Hall of Fame game. That is next on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Who is going to be the Texans' preseason surprise? We'll get our first look at it tomorrow night at the Hall of Fame game. We've got a few players for you to key in on as you watch this game tomorrow. The Chicago Bears and the Houston Texans in the Hall of Fame game, they are going to kick off NFL action. This is significant. Even if the actually significant players are not going to be taking part. I opened the show letting y'all know I am not going to let that news dim my light or kill my energy for this moment. I cannot wait to watch some football. So we got players for y'all to watch, for y'all to pay attention to, who could be preseason surprises. Because what this is going to be about is guys competing for jobs, for spots, for positioning, for roles. Who do we think some of the key guys will be in that realm? Some guys to watch in this game, Lopez.
Yeah, look, every year it happens. Somebody wins a job or somebody wins a starting position.
Yeah.
You know, that you didn't expect.
We were being a little hyperbolic about it yesterday, and I think Indy Kalu was as well when he called it his Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But you understand what we're getting at here. When they say this is their Super Bowl, they're saying this is my moment. This is how I get to at least establish myself for this season.
You could play two or three quarters.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, what better audition do you have than that? Now, some of these guys, well, one for sure, but some of these guys, they're on the squad. And I'm going to start with that one.
Yeah.
I mean, they're on the squad. They're going to be on the squad for years.
But I got a feeling the one that you're going to lead off with, even though we know he's on the squad, this is a fine showcase for him, given who's not going to play.
What if Blake Fisher is really good? Like, really good. And look, he's and I want you and Figgy to think about, like, some of these other guys that you think either might make the roster or might climb the depth chart a little bit with the opportunities they're getting here. Because we're all saying, well, Laremy Tunsil, yeah, of course, he's only there because of Laremy Tunsil, but he's getting every rep with the first squad because Laremy Tunsil is doing, you know, he's 29 going on 54. You know, he's like, he's got that.
My man's got an old soul.
He's got that rocking chair mentality,
man. Got an old soul that Laremy Tunsil does, man. You got
to honestly, the
him.
Way he play, he probably like, man, just, I see y'all on game day. Yeah, I see y'all when it matter.
Hey, that limp that he had last year. He limped like your uncle that got a hip replacement.
Yes.
How he
walking like
year.
Phil Jackson.
He looks like he should have a white towel over one shoulder and standing behind a barrel pit. You know, with some slides on.
But then they snapped the ball and my man is moving.
Yeah.
Like, where'd that come from?
Okay, but he's out.
I mean, moving early sometimes.
Yeah, target on his back. But he's out. Blake Fisher's going to get a ton of reps with not the first team tomorrow, but what he has with the first team, ton of reps. He's a rookie. He's going to play. What if he's just real good?
It is a question that I don't feel like I have asked since they drafted him, or certainly not since training camp, or since we got the feeling that Titus Howard would be out there.
Yeah.
You know, Blake Fisher played right tackle at Notre Dame.
Well, I'm talking more about that position than nobody's going to replace Laremy Tunsil.
Well,
I'm talking about what if, like, Titus, injured, whatever.
What I'm saying is just more so what we've seen him do at training camp. We've seen him play at left tackle in place of Laremy Tunsil. So, like, to me, the conversation has just changed a little bit.
Yeah.
And I had not revisited the fundamental question of what if this dude that they drafted, that a Notre Dame guy that started basically since the moment he got there.
Started at left tackle there.
Yeah, no, he's the entire time, essentially.
Yeah.
And then was drafted in the second round by this team.
Mm-hmm.
What if that dude is good?
Yeah.
Like, I think that is something to definitely think about. And who knows how long it will be before the answer to that question is relevant.
Yeah.
And you hope that at the very least it's not this year. You know, but you would like to have a feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would like to have a feel for it. And I feel like, you know, trial by fire a little bit going up against Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson in practice.
Mm-hmm.
Blake Fisher has, like, his early NFL experience has been a unique one
because
of the quality of talent he's going up against in practice. But this will be our first time to see him in a game. I'm excited about it.
Now, this dude is going to play a lot as well. And we've mentioned his name exactly once that I can remember during training camp. 10 days of camp so far, we've mentioned his name once. And that was when Titus Howard went to the tent for about 10 or 12 minutes because of whatever happened to him. So they had to put in a new starting right tackle with the first team. It was Nick Broeker. Nick Broeker went in with the first team.
Hey, look, he's so nondescript, Vicky. No disrespect, Nick. He's so nondescript. I don't think Lopez is saying that man's name right.
Is it Brecker?
I think it's Brocker.
Brocker?
I think.
Yeah. Broeker?
But
Brecker?
But notice how I'm not.
Brocker?
Notice how I'm not correcting
you. You're not saying
you
it with your
chest.
You're not saying it with your chest.
Because, like, why would either of us be sure? Am I wrong for that?
Anyhow,
hey,
Nick.
This is hey, while we playing, I know we joking Mickey around, B. but this is very important. This dude can.
They put him in with the first team.
He could end up on the first team if some stuff go wrong.
Like,
Nicky B. This is like.
Nicky B.
Something's got to be wrong with this, though. This has the vibes and the feels of. Who did they do this to? Not Austin Deculus.
Mm-hmm.
When they put Michael Dieter on an island at tackle.
Oh, man, that was rough.
They did that in
they
a game.
They put him at tackle, man.
In a game.
Oh, man. He found this groove of center eventually, but
in a live rep.
They put him
in a game.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So I'm like, what if this was that? Like, because think about it. Nick Broeker, Mickey B was on the team last year, and they didn't even put him in. He's supposed to be an interior lineman.
Yeah.
They didn't even put him in at guard.
They put him at tackle.
They had Titus out there with his broken hand and no guard playing self out there playing guard.
Regardless, like, I didn't even know if he was going to make the squad. You know?
I'm going to be worried.
And I know that Blake Fisher would be that guy. Let's say it's Laremy and Titus in a real game, and one of them gets dinged up. It would be Blake Fisher. But Nikki B got some good reps there.
All right, let's see what you got, Nikki B.
Next.
It's a little scary.
We mentioned this yesterday. Tim Boyle?
Tim Boyle, podium game? I know Davis got the pre-podium, but does Tim Boyle get the podium game?
Yeah.
And is Tim Boyle on Davis Mills' heels?
I don't know.
I mean, that's the ultimate question.
It doesn't appear to be so because Davis Mills got the tent yesterday and has been getting second team reps.
Got.
But listen to our guy, Clint Sterner. Listen to watch some of the things that we've seen.
I was going to say, trust your eyes.
Not so much with Tim Boyle. He hadn't been bad. He's been fine. But with Davis Mills, because Case Keenum ain't going nowhere. You know?
Yeah, you have to question if the incumbent backup quarterback that they did not go to when it was time to go to the backup is somebody that they're still interested in having on the team. It feels like he's just somebody that's still under contract and so it's still on the team. But who knows? They brought in Tim Boyle. I feel like dude is on his heels.
A couple more. Actually, it's three players, but a couple more positions to keep an eye on tomorrow. And maybe it's an opportunity that these guys are going to really be able to capitalize on. Xavier Hutchinson / Ben Skoranek. One of these dudes has to do something. Flat out. Has to do something. Mechie's here.
Yeah.
Mechie's here.
We can get into this part later, but I've heard some like uncertainty. Like Clint said this yesterday. He doesn't know how Mechie makes this team.
No, he's in.
I think
he's in unless somebody say, hey, we're trade for him or something. Unless they can get something for him. I think he's
Noah Brown is in. Mechie's in. I think Steven Sims is in because of the kickoffs. So Robert Woods, probably in. Maybe not, but probably
We're running out of room now, Lopez.
Yeah.
We're running out of room.
I think it comes down to Skoranek and Hutchinson.
Yeah. No, the wide receiver competition goes without saying.
Yeah.
Fascinating. I think Mechie is in, but the numbers game on the back end of it, because you know the top four, figure who the top four are going to be. And then, like, I feel like Mechie's got just as good a chance as anybody to be that fifth guy.
Yeah. One more real quick here. Kurt Heinisch. Dude made some plays last year. He was on the field a lot. He did some things last year. Haven't seen a lot of old Kurt Heinisch this camp. And the defensive front interior, pretty stout.
Yeah. Just that position is one that I'm going to be watching no matter who's out there. So Kurt Heinisch among them. And you got to figure a guy like that, undrafted, obviously he's been on the team for a little while, but as a depth piece, you got to figure he's going to get plenty of snaps. So that will be something to watch. Those are players who could surprise, players who are fighting for roles and positions this preseason as we get ready for the Texans to play the Bears tomorrow. Game day eve. I'm excited about it. All right, coming up next on In the Loop, life came fast at the Astros over the past couple of days. We will talk about that next with Baseball Spo.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
Who they want? Baseball Spo.
All right, Adam Spillane joining us here on In the Loop. The Astros at the trade deadline, they nab Yusei Kikuchi from the Toronto Blue Jays, a starter, and reliever Caleb Ferguson, also nabbed by Dana Brown and the Astros. I'm just going to ask you off the top here, all right? Are the Astros a better baseball team with the additions of, you said, the net addition and subtraction that these trades implicate, bringing in Yusei Kikuchi and Ferguson into the bullpen? Do you feel like this is a better baseball team?
Oh, without question. I mean, I don't think there is any doubt that, I mean, Kikuchi will probably start against Tampa Bay this weekend. Kikuchi gives them a better, he takes the rotation spot essentially of Jake Bloss, who he was traded for. Kikuchi gives the Astros a better chance of winning that game than Bloss would have. I mean, he's just an experienced major league starter as opposed to a guy who's in his second year of pro ball who has struggled in three major league starts and has not gotten through four innings or has not gotten past four innings in any of his four starts. So I don't think there is any doubt that they are. And Ferguson is better than what they have at the very back of their bullpen. And I think they believe Ferguson can come in and pitch in some high leverage spots. So there is no doubt that they are better today than they were 48 hours ago.
And I think in addition to that, I just want to give you a chance to speak to this because I feel like we're going to agree here. But also given what they gave up, because it wasn't just Bloss. Mm-hmm. It was Joey Loperfido, who has a fun name to say and makes some fun plays in the outfield. And obviously Will Wagner, a prospect who I think we know his dad better than we actually know his game. But you think also the opportunity cost given up, they're still better.
I mean, clearly. I mean, the guys that they gave up were not going to help them win at a high level this year. Kikuchi might. Kikuchi has a much better chance than those three guys actually do. And listen, they gave up a lot. I'm not going to sit here and act like they didn't. Did they overpay? Yeah, probably they did. But this is the position that they're in. And the same people that are killing Dana Brown today for giving up too much in the Kikuchi trade are probably the same ones 48 hours ago that were killing them for not doing anything up to that point. So sometimes this is just what you have to do. And they are in a position where they are trying to win now. The window is open. It might not be open for a whole lot longer, so you have to take advantage of it now.
Lopez doesn't like the desperation.
Yeah, why are you doing this to me, man? Why are you doing this
Lopez
to me?
Lopez does not like the desperation. I already know.
Well, I don't, but I'm more like, okay, Kikuchi, what is he, 4-9? He's lost 6 of his last 9 starts. His team has lost 6 of his last 9 starts. Okay, so you say there's no doubt that they're better.
Yeah.
But this is marginal at best.
We'll see. Have to see. We have to wait and see.
They've lost 6 of his last 9 starts.
I understand.
Yeah.
You know, the peripheral numbers are a lot better than the top line numbers. And that sort of stuff matters because when Ryan Pressly was awful at the start of the year, his peripheral numbers would tell you otherwise.
I get that. Also Ryan Pressly.
And also, like somebody like Ronel Blanco, his peripheral numbers were not as good as the top line numbers, and you've seen him come back to earth a little bit. So sometimes this happens, and I do know, you know, the Astros have been, you know, both Joe Espada on Monday and Dana Brown also, they said that there are a couple of pretty simple adjustments that they feel like Kikuchi can make that will make him more effective, mostly with pitch usage, which will make him a little bit more efficient. And because it's not like he's hurt. It's not like he's been pitching hurt or anything like that. Velocity is still really good. He's still striking out hitters at an incredibly high rate. So the stuff is still there. And they just saw him a few weeks ago. So like they saw like up close just what the stuff looks like. And I do think that he was higher on their list than I think some people would expect. And I think that Chandler Rome had some reporting on this today that they had him ranked higher on their list than somebody like Jack Flaherty. So I do think that they are
higher. Well, it's funny how that comes out after they don't get Flaherty.
Well, yes. Yeah.
But then also we heard the...
That's like a draft. Yeah, really had this guy number one on our board.
And Flaherty also might
have... health concerns.
Yeah, there's a medical concern with Flaherty, which might be the reason why the Yankees backed out on him. So, listen, this is what happens at this time of the year. And I think we talked about this, you know, earlier in the year. It's like, this is where they're at. Like, they need to try and win now. And sometimes you just have to say, F them prospects and go for it.
I will say, you've talked about the margins. This is a margin player. This is not somebody, like, when you said, oh, no doubt they're better.
Maybe.
I'm like,
Kikuchi was an all-star a couple years ago. Like
he won 11 games in his career.
But he's not that far removed from being an all-star. Mm-hmm. And I do think there is a higher ceiling there than there is right now with the guys that they gave up. And listen, the guys, what is unique about this trade is that you don't usually see three guys traded for a rental who are like upper minor leaguers / big leaguers.
So this is what I was going to get at because they needed to get a back of the rotation guy. They got a back of the rotation guy. I am underwhelmed by the trade, but I'm not killing Dana Brown for this trade. I'm more so would be frustrated about what they didn't do before now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, this dude is going to play a lot as well. And we've mentioned his name exactly once that I can remember during training camp. 10 days of camp so far, we've mentioned his name once. And that was when Tytus Howard went to the tent for about 10 or 12 minutes because of whatever happened to him. So they had to put in a new starting right tackle with the first team. It was Nick Broeker. Nick Broeker went in with the first team.
Hey, look. He's so nondescript, Vicky. No disrespect, Nick. He's so nondescript. I don't think Lopez is saying that man's name right.
Is it Brecker?
I think it's Brocker.
Brocker?
I think. Yeah.
Broeker?
But
Brecker?
But notice how I'm not.
Brocker?
Notice how I'm not correcting
you. You're not
you
saying
with
it with your chest. You're not saying it with your chest.
Because, like, why would either of us be sure? Am I wrong for that?
Anyhow,
hey,
Nick.
This is hey, while we playing, I know we're joking Nicky around, B. but this is very important. This dude can.
They put him in with the first team.
He could end up on the first team if some stuff go wrong.
Like
Nicky B. This is like
Nicky B.
Something's got to be wrong with this though. This has the vibes and the feels of who did they do this to? Not Austin Deculus. Mm-hmm. When they put Michael Dieter on an island at tackle.
Oh man, that was rough.
They did that
they
in a game.
Put him at tackle. Man.
In a game.
Oh man, he found this groove at center eventually,
yeah.
but
yeah. in a live
oh,
rep.
They put him
in a game.
Yeah. Oh man.
So I'm like, what if this was that? Like, because think about it, Nick Broeker. Mickey B was on the team last year, and they didn't even put him in. He's supposed to be an interior lineman.
Yeah,
they didn't even put him in at guard.
They put him at tackle.
They had Tytus out there with his broken hand and no guard playing self out there playing guard.
Regardless, like I didn't even know if he was going to make the squad. You know,
I'm gonna be worried.
And I know that Blake Fisher would be that guy. Let's say it's Laramie and Tytus in a real game, and one of them gets dinged up. It would be Blake Fisher, but Mickey B. got some good reps there.
All right, let's see what you got, Nicky B.
Next.
It's a little scary.
We mentioned this yesterday. Tim Boyle,
podium game? I know Davis got the pre-podium, but does Tim Boyle get the podium game?
Yeah.
And is Tim Boyle on Davis Mills' heels?
I don't know.
I mean, that's the ultimate question.
It doesn't
question.
Appear to be so because Davis Mills got the tent yesterday and has been getting second team reps.
Got.
But listen to our guy, Clint Sterner. Listen to watch some of the things that we've seen.
I was going to say, trust your eyes.
Not so much with Tim Boyle. He hadn't been bad. He's been fine. But with Davis Mills, because Case Keenum ain't going nowhere. You know?
Yeah, you have to question if the incumbent backup quarterback that they did not go to when it was time to go to the backup is somebody that they're still interested in having on the team. It feels like he's just somebody that's still under contract and so is still on the team. But who knows? They brought in Tim Boyle. I feel like dude is on his heels.
A couple more. Actually, it's three players, but a couple more positions to keep an eye on tomorrow. And maybe it's an opportunity that these guys are going to really be able to capitalize on. Xavier Hutchinson / Ben Skoranek. One of these dudes has to do something. Flat out. Has to do something. Mechie's here.
Yeah.
Mechie's here.
We can get into this part later, but I've heard some like uncertainty. Like Clint said this yesterday. He doesn't know how Mechie makes this team.
No, he's in.
I think
he's in unless somebody say, hey, we'll trade for him or something. Unless they can get something for him. I think he's
Noah Brown is in. Mechie's in. I think Steven Sims is in because of the kickoffs. So Robert Woods probably in, maybe not, but probably.
We run out of room now, Lopez.
Yeah,
we run out of room.
I think it comes down to Skoranek and Hutchinson.
Yeah, no, the wide receiver competition goes without saying.
Yeah,
fascinating. I think Mechie is in, but the numbers game on the back end of it, because you know the top four. Mm-hmm. Figure who the top four are going to be. And then, like, I feel like Mechie's got his, just as good a chance as anybody to be that fifth guy.
Yeah, one more real quick here. Kurt Heinisch. Dude made some plays last year. He was on the field a lot. He did some things last year. Haven't seen a lot of old Kurt Heinisch this camp. And the defensive front interior, pretty stout.
Yeah, just that position is one that I'm going to be watching no matter who's out there. So Kurt Heinisch among them. And you got to figure a guy like that, undrafted, obviously he's been on the team for a little while.
Yeah.
But as a depth piece, you got to figure he's going to get plenty of snaps. So that will be something to watch. Those are players who could surprise, players who are fighting for roles and positions this preseason as we get ready for the Texans to play the Bears tomorrow. Game day eve. I'm excited about it. All right, coming up next on In the Loop. Life came fast at the Astros over the past couple of days. We will talk about that next with Baseball Spo.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
Who they want? Baseball Spo. Baseball Spo. Baseball Spo. Baseball Spo. Baseball Spo.
All right, Adam Spillane joining us here on In the Loop. The Astros at the trade deadline, they nab Yusei Kikuchi from the Toronto Blue Jays, a starter, and reliever Caleb Ferguson, also nabbed by Dana Brown and the Astros. I'm just going to ask you off the top here, all right? Are the Astros a better baseball team with the additions of Yusei, the net addition and subtraction that these trades implicate? Bringing in Yusei Kikuchi and Ferguson into the bullpen. Do you feel like this is a better baseball team?
Oh, without question. I mean, I don't think there is any doubt that, I mean, Kikuchi will probably start against Tampa Bay this weekend. Kikuchi gives them a better, he takes the rotation spot essentially of Jake Bloss, who he was traded for. Kikuchi gives the Astros a better chance of winning that game than Bloss would have. I mean, he's just an experienced major league starter as opposed to a guy who's in his second year of pro ball who has struggled in three major league starts and has not gotten through four innings or has not gotten past four innings in any of his four starts. So I don't think there is any doubt that they are. And Ferguson is better than what they have at the very back of their bullpen. And I think they believe Ferguson can come in and pitch in some high leverage spots. So there is no doubt that they are better today than they were 48 hours ago.
And I think in addition to that, I just want to give you a chance to speak to this because I feel like we're going to agree here, but also given what they gave up, because it wasn't just Bloss, it was Joey Loperfido, who has a fun name to say and makes some fun plays in the outfield, and obviously Will Wagner, a prospect who I think we know his dad better than we actually know his game. But you think also the opportunity cost given up, they're still better.
I mean, the guys that they gave up were not going to help them win at a high level this year. Kikuchi might. Kikuchi has a much better chance than those three guys actually do. And listen, they gave up a lot. I'm not going to sit here and act like they didn't. Did they overpay? Yeah, probably they did. But this is the position that they're in. And the same people that are killing Dana Brown today for giving up too much in the Kikuchi trade are probably the same ones 48 hours ago that were killing them for not doing anything up to that point. So sometimes this is just what you have to do. And they are in a position where they are trying to win now. The window is open. It might not be open for a whole lot longer, so you have to take advantage of it now.
Lopez doesn't like the desperation.
Yeah, why are you doing this to me, man? Why are you doing this
Lopez
to me?
Lopez does not like the desperation. I already know.
Well, I don't, but I'm more like, okay, Kikuchi, what is he, 4-9? He's lost six of his last nine starts. His team has lost six of his last nine starts. Okay, so you say there's no doubt that they're better.
Yeah.
But this is marginal at best.
We'll see. Have to see. We have to wait and see.
They've lost six of his last nine starts.
I understand.
Yeah.
You know, the peripheral numbers are a lot better than the top line numbers. And that sort of stuff matters because when Ryan Pressly was awful at the start of the year, his peripheral numbers would tell you otherwise.
I get that. Also Ryan Pressly.
And also, like somebody like Ronel Blanco, his peripheral numbers were not as good as the top line numbers, and you've seen him come back to earth a little bit. So sometimes this happens, and I do know, you know, the Astros have been, you know, both Joe Espada on Monday and Dana Brown also, they said that there are a couple of pretty simple adjustments that they feel like Kikuchi can make that will make him more effective, mostly with pitch usage, which will make him a little bit more efficient. And because it's not like he's hurt. It's not like he's been pitching hurt or anything like that. Velocity is still really good. He's still striking out hitters at an incredibly high rate. So the stuff is still there. And they just saw him a few weeks ago. So like they saw like up close just what the stuff looks like. And I do think that he was higher on their list than I think some people would expect. And I think that Chandler Rome had some reporting on this today that they had him ranked higher on their list than somebody like Jack Flaherty. So I do think that they
Well, it's funny how that comes out after they don't get Flaherty.
Well, yes. Yeah.
But then also we heard the...
That's like a draft. Yeah, we really had this guy number one on our board.
And Flaherty also might
have... health concerns.
Yeah, there's a medical concern with Flaherty, which might be the reason why the Yankees backed out on him. So listen, this is what happens at this time of the year. And I think we talked about this, you know, earlier in the year. It's like, this is where they're at. Like, they need to try and win now. And sometimes you just have to say, F them prospects and go for it.
I will say, you've talked about the margin. This is a margin player. This is not somebody like when you said, oh, no doubt they're better. Maybe. I'm like,
Kikuchi was an all-star a couple years ago. Like
he won 11 games in his career.
But he's not that far removed from being an all-star. Mm-hmm. And I do think there is a higher ceiling there than there is right now with the guys that they gave up. And listen, the guys, what is unique about this trade is that you don't usually see three guys traded for a rental who are like upper minor leaguers / big leaguers.
So this is what I was going to get at, because they needed to get a back of the rotation guy. They got a back of the rotation guy. I am underwhelmed by the trade, but I'm not killing Dana Brown for this trade. I'm more so would be frustrated about what they didn't do before now to get to this point. But to me, Adam, the trade and the exact point that you just made about what they had to give up is more of an indictment of what they have, the type of ammunition that they have to go get a guy that three prospects that have two of which now have some major league experience. It took three guys to go get, to Lopez's point, a marginal back end starter in Yusei Kikuchi. Like, it took all of that to bring you back Yusei Kikuchi. And that is, I think, the frustrating part is that, hey, you didn't have enough ammo to go get something, and it feels like what you used didn't bring you a whole lot back.
Well, they haven't been a great drafting team. Mm-hmm. Remember, they lost a lot of picks in the scandal. They lost two first round picks and two second round picks in the scandal. So those are four like what you would consider to be high level prospects that they did not have because of the scandal. Plus, that takes away draft pool money, which also impacts what you can do in other stages of the draft. They've also traded other prospects away. Like, you look at the Verlander trade. I know people are upset about the Kikuchi trade. The Verlander trade, they gave up a whole lot more in that deal than they gave up in this deal. So, and they were also able to avoid, I think the three guys that they gave up are three guys that they felt like it was palatable to give these guys up. I think that some of the guys that they kept, whether it's Melton or Bryce Matthews or Zach Cole or some of these other guys that they have in the system, I think they would much rather have kept those guys than the guys that they actually traded, just because I think Bloss is the guy that could hurt. I think Bloss is a guy who's got a higher ceiling compared to the other two. Mm-hmm. Lil Perfido's 25 and in his fourth year in pro ball, and he played in the ACC. Like, he kind of is, and he hasn't been productive as a big leaguer. He had a nice little run at the beginning, but he's got like a 5.62 ERA in his last 27 games, and he strikes out a ton. Will Wagner's not a prospect. Like, he's 26. He's 26, and he plays the corners, and he doesn't hit for power. Like, that's not really a prospect at this point. So they gave up three guys who have ability, but I don't think Bloss might be the exception, but I don't think there's anybody in this trade that they gave up who they are like going to instantly regret giving up.
And Bloss was more about the urgency, right? Like, hey, Bloss, swing and miss stuff can maybe help you further down the line, but you need it now.
But it's not like he throws 98.
No, I get
you.
He's
throwing like 93. It's not like they traded what they thought Forrest Whitley was going to be five years ago.
Yeah,
so they're in a tough. They were in a tough spot. They have this team that is primed to win now. This might be the last chance that they have, and so they had to go for it.
Yeah. What about Kyle Tucker being moved to the 60-day IL? Now, they say it's more procedural, or whatever, but it is the Astros saying that.
No, but they needed to open up a spot on the 40-man roster.
Yeah.
And so to do that, they had to move Kyle Tucker over. So, like I said, it does not impact his time. And Dana Brown said this, or I think it was Dana Brown or a spot. I can't remember who said it yesterday, but it doesn't impact his timetable.
Good news, we did see Luis Garcia and Justin Verlander off the mound, actually facing batters.
Yes. And Garcia said he was up to 93. which is for him very good in a live BP. He said the last live BP he threw, he was at 92. So he feels really good. I think it was just, you know, it was a scare. Like he said yesterday that he was just really sore after that last rehab start and he stayed sore. But it seems like that is completely subsided. And I think he might be ready to go on a rehab maybe this weekend, maybe early next week. And then Verlander, he said he threw all his pitches and he felt really good and there were no issues with the neck or anything. So he might be getting close to a rehab assignment as well. And so, listen, it's corny and it's, you know, one of the things that you say when you don't do a ton at the deadline. But those are two additions, or really three additions, that they could make to the roster at some point here down the stretch.
Yeah, no, I think it's important just to point out, like, they only got Yusei Kikuchi back, and the trade, I think, is underwhelming. But we've all been talking about the entire time the reinforcements, mm-hmm. and it just feels like it's delayed, and it's just taking a little bit longer than you'd like for it to take. But I think that it's significant that Luis Garcia would be facing batters and could actually come back and contribute for you. All of a sudden, you figure how they've been playing these last two games, notwithstanding. Figure how they've been playing. It should be, I mean, things should be up for the Astros.
Yeah, they are. Again, they are a better team today, right now, than they were 48 hours ago, and that's what the trade deadline is for. And we'll have to wait and see when it comes to the future. But, you know, this is a team that has gone to seven straight ALCSs, and they think that they are good enough to get to an eighth straight, and they helped themselves do that. And if they would not have done anything, I think that everybody would have killed them for not doing anything. So I just think that if you're Dana Brown, you're in a position where you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Baseball Spo checking in with us before the trip to Europe, man. Enjoy Europe, man. Appreciate you.
I'll see you guys tomorrow morning. I'm in here with Seth.
Oh, nice.
That'll be fun. All right, man. Appreciate you, Spo. Coming up next here on In the Loop, does this position group worry you at all on game day eve? That's next, Sports Radio 610. So this is what I was going to get at, because they needed to get a back of the rotation guy. They got a back of the rotation guy. I am underwhelmed by the trade, but I'm not killing Dana Brown for this trade. I'm more so would be frustrated about what they didn't do before now to get to this point. But to me, Adam, the trade and the exact point that you just made about what they had to give up is more of an indictment of what they have, the type of ammunition that they have to go get a guy that three prospects that have, two of which now have some major league experience. It took three guys to go get, to Lopez's point, a marginal back end starter in Yusei Kikuchi. Like, it took all of that to bring you back Yusei Kikuchi. And that is, I think, the frustrating part, is that, hey, you didn't have enough ammo to go get something, and it feels like what you used didn't bring you a whole lot back.
Well, they haven't been a great drafting team. Mm-hmm. Remember, they lost a lot of picks in the scandal. They lost two first round picks and two second round picks in the scandal. So those are four like what you would consider to be high level prospects that they did not have because of the scandal. Plus, that takes away draft pool money, which also impacts what you can do in other stages of the draft. They've also traded other prospects away. Like, you look at the Verlander trade. I know people are upset about the Kikuchi trade. The Verlander trade, they gave up a whole lot more in that deal than they gave up in this deal. So, and they were also able to avoid, I think the three guys that they gave up are three guys that they felt like it was palatable to give these guys up. I think that some of the guys that they kept, whether it's Melton or Bryce Matthews or Zach Cole or some of these other guys that they have in the system, I think they would much rather have kept those guys than the guys that they actually traded, just because I think Bloss is the guy that could hurt. I think Bloss is a guy who's got a higher ceiling compared to the other two. Mm-hmm. Lil Perfido's 25 and in his fourth year in pro ball, and he played in the ACC. Like, he kind of is, and he hasn't been productive as a big leaguer. He had a nice little run at the beginning, but he's got like a 5.62 ERA in his last 27 games, and he strikes out a ton. Will Wagner's not a prospect. Like, he's 26. He's 26, and he plays the corners, and he doesn't hit for power. Like, that's not really a prospect at this point. So they gave up three guys who have ability, but I don't think Bloss might be the exception, but I don't think there's anybody in this trade that they gave up who they are like going to instantly regret giving up.
And Bloss was more about the urgency, right? Like, hey, Bloss, swing and miss stuff can maybe help you further down the line, but you need it now.
But it's not like he throws 98.
No, I get
you.
He's
throwing like 93. It's not like they traded what they thought Forrest Whitley was going to be 5 years ago.
Yeah,
they're in a tough. They were in a tough spot. They have this team that is primed to win now. this might be the last chance that they have, and so they had to go for it.
Yeah, what about Kyle Tucker being moved to the 60-day IL? Now, they say it's more procedural,
it's just a procedural thing.
Or whatever, but it is the Astros saying that.
No, but they needed to open up a spot on the 40-man roster.
Yeah.
And so to do that, they had to move Kyle Tucker over. So, like I said, it does not impact his time. And Dana Brown said this, or I think it was Dana Brown or a spot. I can't remember who said it yesterday. But it doesn't impact his timetable.
The good news, we did see Luis Garcia and Justin Verlander off the mound, actually facing batters.
Yes. And Garcia said he was up to 93, which is, for him, very good in a live BP. He said the last live BP he threw, he was at 92. So he feels really good. I think it was just, it was a scare. Like he said yesterday that he was just really sore after that last rehab start, and he stayed sore. But it seems like that is completely subsided, and I think he might be ready to go on a rehab maybe this weekend, maybe early next week. And then Verlander, he said he threw all his pitches and he felt really good and there were no issues with the neck or anything. So he might be getting close to a rehab assignment as well. And so, listen, it's corny and it's, one of the things that you say when you don't do a ton at the deadline. But those are two additions, or really three additions, that they could make to the roster at some point here down the stretch.
Yeah, no, I think it's important just to point out, like, they only got Yusei Kikuchi back, and the trade, I think, is underwhelming. But we've all been talking about the entire time the reinforcements, mm-hmm. and it just feels like it's delayed and it's just taking a little bit longer than you'd like for it to take. But I think that it's significant that Luis Garcia would be facing batters and could actually come back and contribute for you. All of a sudden, you figure how they've been playing these last two games, notwithstanding, figure how they've been playing. It should be, things should be up for the Astros.
Yeah, they are a better team today, right now, than they were 48 hours ago. And that's what the trade deadline is for. And we'll have to wait and see when it comes to the future. But, this is a team that has gone to 7 straight ALCSs, and they think that they are good enough to get to an 8th straight, and they helped themselves do that. And if they would not have done anything, I think that everybody would have killed them for not doing anything. So I just think that if you're Dana Brown, you're in a position where you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Baseball Spo checking in with us before the trip to Europe, man. Enjoy Europe, man. Appreciate you.
I'll see you guys tomorrow morning. I'm in here with Seth.
Oh, nice.
That'll be fun. All right, man. Appreciate you, Spo. Coming up next here on In the Loop, does this position group worry you at all on game day eve? That's next, Sports Radio 610.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.